Good afternoon, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today with your presenters for this week, Eleonora Ipo and I, John Byrne. Coming up on the programme this week, Eleonora will be speaking to Laura Martin, the arts officer with the Cervantes Institute here in Dublin, and they'll be telling us about some of the wonderful events that are taking place there now and over the next few weeks. I'll be speaking to Project's Art Centre curator Tessa Giblin about their successful and fascinating exhibition entitled Riddle of the Burial Grounds that's just about to finish this Saturday. We'll have a roundup of some of the stories of European interest that have made the headlines here in Ireland. And unusually enough, we will have some music from Dublin for your enjoyment as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour and your programme Europe Today. New figures show that the Republic of Ireland granted Irish citizenship to close on 6,000 Nigerians during 2013. That's more than any other nationality. The statistics from Eurostat reveal that in 2013, 1 million immigrants were granted citizenship across the European Union. The majority of the EU beneficiaries were from Morocco, India and Turkey. Ruth Deasy of the European Commission Office in Dublin says the figure shows that a large number of immigrants have also come from India and the Philippines.
Well, in 2013, Ireland granted citizenship to a particular profile of nationalities. The top three were Nigerian, Indian, and from the Philippines. And in the EU overall, the top nationalities were Moroccan and Turkish.
Dublin City University is seeking families with members who are suffering from dementia. The university is undertaking a major EU-backed study into the ailment, which affects 35,000 people in Ireland. Families willing to assist can contact Dr. Louise Hopper at DCU. Her colleague, Dr. Kate Irving, says the study will primarily explore what goes wrong when carers are no longer able to look after dementia sufferers.
Dementia weighs very, very heavily on the family members and the people with dementia, and it gets to a point where they can no longer withstand the rigours of caring for somebody with dementia, and the thing falls apart. And we want to know what we can do to prevent that from happening.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
This is Eleonora Ippoliti, and this week we are going to talk with Laura Martin, who is the Cervantes Institute's Arts Officer. The Instituto Cervantes promotes and spreads Spanish and Hispanic American culture. I'm delighted to welcome Laura Martin on the program. Okay. Hola, Laura. ¿Qué tal?
Muy bien.
So, we welcome you in our program, and we thank you for your participation. And what are the upcoming events on the Instituto Cervantes in Dublin?
Thank you for having me here today. And the upcoming events at the Instituto Cervantes for this month, the next month of August, it's our film screenings, part of the Cine Café Club program, that are shown always in original version with English subtitles. So the next ones will be the Thursday, the 13th of August at 5:30, and everyone who wants to practice their Spanish or maybe enjoy with a good film could go to the Pierce Street Library, where Instituto Cervantes will screen El Método. So it's a film from 2005. In English, it has been translated as The Method, and it's a Spanish drama located in Madrid.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, the next film will be another Thursday. We always screen on Thursdays, and it's the 27th of August, and the title is Els Ans Salvatges. It's a Catalan title, and it's a film from 2013 that will be screened here at the Instituto Cervantes at 6. And for the Cine Café Club at the Cervantes, we always do a discussion after the screening for those who want to learn and share more about this documentary that was, for example, located in Ethiopia and show the life of three young boys.
Okay, that's very interesting. And are the movies in Spanish?
The movies are always in original version. So if they are in Spanish, it will be in Spanish with English subtitles.
Okay.
But some films can also be in other languages, like that one that was recorded in Ethiopia, for example. Others are in Catalan language or other languages.
Okay, the original version.
Most of them are in Spanish, but we also have other languages included.
Okay. And there's an exhibition going on in your institute. And why did you promote this exhibition by Emilio Andrés Codina?
The title of the exhibition is Consumerism and Abandonment, the Impact of Man on His Environment. And it's a photographic project by Spanish artist, as you mentioned, Emilio Andrés Codina. And this exhibition is part also of the program of the Photo Island Festival, that we are always happy to present a photography exhibition inside this successful festival. So the work showcased in this exhibition is the result of the first edition of the master's degree in photography at the Spaidart Photographic of Valencia, that is a photographic school. So the students were asked to write a thesis with its corresponding series of photographs under the theme human activity, machinery, food, and surroundings. So, and here comes the work of Emilio that was awarded with the prize of being showcased internationally. So this work, the Emilio's work, was selected as the best one in this first edition of the Masters. And to me, the work of Emilio is a series of impeccable formal style, which carries a very clear message also. So we have on exhibition 20 photos from this artist that can speak about real and hard themes, but being aesthetically attractive. So the photos on this exhibition reflects on abandonment and excessive consumerism, but the final products are really beautiful images.
Okay, so yeah, it's very interesting because it's also a very actual topic. Yeah, so that's involved everybody in our society.
Involves everybody, although the photos have been taken in California, in the United States. This theme is everywhere, yeah.
Yeah, and I read that in a way it's also something like has to deal with, so because it's set in America, it's also about the, you know, the American dream, and in a way, even if this dream is still alive, so it's very interesting.
Yeah.
And so, Laura, do you think the exhibition will influence people's opinion on the topic?
About that, I'm not sure. I think we are used to watch live images from natural disasters to human conflicts, and it is becoming rare to react to those images nowadays. So they are part of our daily lives, and there is where I think Emilio's photos can be effective, because his images are so clear, so simple, that they can make us think about what it is in there without being rude or overwhelming. Those images can make people think about from other perspective. I don't actually think the images here can change our minds, but they are here to make us think about how we perceive the world. So they are just like an excuse to make us think what is in there and how I see that problem or that issue.
Yeah, because sometimes images or photos can be very impressive and can show things more than words sometimes.
Yeah, they are quite impressive, but they are not there. I don't know how to express that. They are really beautiful photos. Aesthetically, they are perfect. They are lovely. So it's like how this topic, this abandonment you see there, the death, and how can I perceive that as beauty? So I think that's the power of Emilio's work.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, definitely we have to see the pictures to really understand their power, their meaning. And so did many people come to the exhibition, Laura?
Yes, up to now that many people attended the exhibition, and it's we have a lovely space. It's, you enter from the street, and it's based on the ground floor. We have a lot of lights because we have a lot of great windows, and there is a coffee service there, so you can come to the exhibition and have a coffee as well, or take some Spanish food while you are here.
Ah, okay, that seems very interesting. So, yeah. What can we have? Something like paella and
I don't
tapas?
Think paella, but some tapas. Yeah, Spanish vale. Tapas, Spanish tortilla, and tortilla. Spanish soups as well. So, yeah, and Spanish muffins. That's, yeah.
Okay, is there sangria as well?
No, because we don't have alcohol now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Laura, and do you have any events that concern literature?
Yes, literature is quite important for us. And we have, in October, we'll have our annual festival called Isla, that comes from Irish, Spanish and Latin America Literary Festival. And this year's festival theme will be memory. And we have prepared a whole program with activities for all kinds of audiences. For example, we will have a roundtable, discussions, interviews, film screenings as well, workshops, and literary and cultural walking tours. So we'll have 19 authors from Ireland, Spain, and Latin America. So it's really a good mixture of our cultures, the Spanish culture, the Latin American culture that is also in Spanish, and Irish authors. And for the first time, Isla will also be presented in other cities, Irish cities such as Cork, Galway, or Limerick.
Okay.
And all that will be happening early October, the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th of October.
Okay, so Laura, thank you very much. It was very interesting. Thank you for participating, for joining us today.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's a
pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks.
This is Eleonore Politi for Europe Today. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
It's a while since we've had any Irish music here on Europe Today, but today we're making an exception. Here's a track called Running by up-and-coming Wicklow band Game Over. And we'll say a big hello to Jason and all the gang out there.
Since I was a young boy, my old man was a drunk, I could see by his eyes. He lived in a bottle of whiskey and dreams, and he thought for some reason was better than me. And I'm running away, all alone. Yes, I'm running away. My dreams have been shattered because of his. I wanna reach for the stars with my fingertips, but my mind's full of demons and his hopeless dreams. And I'm running away on my own. Yes, I'm running away all alone. I was 19 years old when I hit London's lights. I know where to go, but my heart full of light. I've been searching for something and I don't know why, but I felt I was better away from it all.
I'm running away on my own. Yes, I'm running away all
This is Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM.
Visual Art has taken over the Projects Arts Centre here in Dublin with one of their most ambitious exhibitions to date. Riddle of the Burial Grounds, puzzles over signs, forms and communication, motivated by one of the major problems facing our planet, the markings and warnings around nuclear burial sites. With just a number of days left before the exhibition closes, Europe Today got to talk to the curator of this successful and fascinating installation, Tessa Giblin. Tessa, thanks a million for taking the time out to talk to us here on Europe Today this afternoon. Tessa, we're taking a sort of a retrospective look at the Riddle of the Burial Grounds exhibition that's after being on in the Project Arts Centre. Now, there's only 2 days left to go, but what has been the highlight of the exhibition for yourself, or was there anything that particularly stood out over the last couple of months that you've been there?
Well, I mean, it was such an extraordinary exhibition to mount, and so many of the artists came over for the opening. But 2 weeks ago, Peter Gallison and Rob Moss, who are the filmmakers behind Containment, came over and gave a lecture in partnership with the Science Gallery, and it was just so wonderful to hear Peter Gallison talk about his research with Rob behind these nuclear waste burial sites, which the film looks into. And it's one of those ideas that is so sparky for contemporary art because it thinks about what forms are, what monuments are, what ruins are, and how they will need to communicate into the future. But here we're not talking about 10 or 100 or 1,000 years into the future. We're talking about 10,000 years, or in fact 240,000 years, because that is the amount of time that is going to be needed to tell future inhabitants of the Earth how very dangerous these nuclear or radioactive waste burial sites are. Plutonium's half-life is 24,000 years, and they think something's gone after 10 half-life. So that kind of period of time that humanity is having to sink into is deeply fascinating for contemporary art, and then come at from the angle of Peter Gallison, who's an extremely respected historian of science and physics, is just such an amazing artwork to see. And since that lecture in the Science Gallery, the seat that people are sitting on to watch this this film has been constantly full. So it's
fantastic.
Sparked people in the direction of climate change, of this new epoch of the Anthropocene, and issues that are like extremely important for us to be thinking about in this time.
And the exhibition, according to the blog, Tessa, it says here it is it puzzles over signs, forms and communication, motivated by one of the major problems facing our planet, the markings and warnings around nuclear burial sites. What other aspects of the installation dealt with that particular issue?
Well, it looks at what that is in terms of time. So one of the artworks that we present is by Rosella Biscotti, an Italian artist, and she learned of, when Lithuania was entering the EU, she learned that the Ignalina power plant was being shut down because it had a reactor similar to Chernobyl.
Right.
So she went there and she purchased the lead that was used in the radiation shield around the reactor, brought it back with her, melted it down into shapes, and presents it as a form on the ground that looks a little bit like minimalist art. But for me, it is really that idea of something being quite pregnant with meaning. And another artist I'd like to mention is Stefan Benner-Hanley, who has made a clay bust of Thomas Midgley, who invented chlorofluorocarbons, or CFCs, as they'd be commonly known, greenhouse gases. And this clay bust that he makes, he put it into water and it immediately starts to disintegrate. So here, the man who's had such an enormous and terrible impact on the atmosphere and on the planet, the very memorial of him is just melting away into water. Another artist, Dorothy Cross, has made a beautiful film of a young boy who's on the transition of age. His voice is about to break. He's about to become a man. He is an icon of the fleeting moment of humanity. And he is singing beneath the third oldest stalactite in the world that happens to be in Ireland. It's in County Clare. And Dorothy Cross filmed him singing, but without language. So here you have this example of the fleeting moment of humanity against the deep, deep geological age of the planet taking place in the stalactite. They think it's somewhere between 600,000 and 1 million years old. So just the very contrast in that moment is absolutely extraordinary.
Incredible indeed. It sounds like, Tessa, that we could have done a complete programme on the exhibition. And as I said, unfortunately, we're only getting to you now to take a little sort of retrospectical look at the thing. What's the future for the exhibition now?
Well, wonderfully, it's going to be travelling. So Extra City in Antwerp is very interested in the exhibition, and we're going to be mounting it there next year, so in September 2006. It will be a slightly altered version in collaboration with that organisation, but that's a great thing for Project Art Centre to be in.
I think you mean 2016.
2016, that's exactly what I mean.
Unless you've actually got a time machine down there as well, have you?
My epochs and ages are becoming all confused. Yes, that's exactly what I mean. Sorry. And also, I'll be curating the Steirische Herbst. It's quite a large festival in Graz in Austria.
Sorry, Tessa, just tell us a little bit about that. Yeah. Now, this is your next. Yeah. This is your next project. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll be making an exhibition called Hall of Half Life, which dips into similar types of ideas and allows some of these thoughts and artworks to come back. They're different artworks, and they're newly commissioned works. But it's also great for Project Art Centre to be in that relationship and to have these really strong European connections. It means conversations going on between Austria and Ireland and Belgium as well.
And what will be involved in that now, Tessa? Just for just give us a little insight into the mind of a curator. What will be actually involved in the whole process?
Yeah, well, I mean, it began just with a phone call. They apparently they'd made a shortlist, unbeknownst to us. And my name came out at the top of the shortlist. So there you suddenly had an invitation to be curating a rather large festival in Austria,
right?
The visual arts side of it. And the idea is to both have quite a robust conceptual background, so thinking about some of these ideas, but also invite artists to make new work, new commissions. So there you have Michaela Dwyer, Jeffrey Farmer. I'm bringing the Irish artist Gerard Byrne, who's reacting directly to the collection of the museum, the Graz Museum, that I'll be making the exhibition in. I'm also bringing the very young Irish artist, Stefan Benner-Hanley, who's 25, and he'll be sitting in there in the Graz Museum for a month before opening, making a work actually based on one of the models in there about the city of Graz,
okay.
But a sort of fantastical work, as I described around Thomas Midgley before. So it's an opportunity to bring a lot of the ways that we work and mix them with the other European and international artists that we've been working with over many, many years here at Project.
Fantastic.
But to present a new platform. And again, Peter Gallison, who I was describing at the very beginning, will be making a new installation version of this film that he's presented, Containment. So for him and Rob Moss, this is terrifically exciting because it's the first time they've been able to present their quite abstract and conceptual research projects. I mean, these are documentary films in the more open-ended field of contemporary art.
And how long will you be over in Graz, Tessa? How long will that whole process?
I'll be going back and forth. I mean, I've been going back and forth quite a lot anyway. But but strongly will be there for, you know, 3-4 weeks before the installation. But we've been working on this for a very long time. Anyway, right, the exhibition itself will run for 4 months almost, I think. Closes on the 10th of January. So it's a very, yeah, it's a very long, and it's a good, strong exhibition within that festival.
Well, I have a funny feeling, Tessa, that Europe Today will be contacting you a week or two after you get this whole thing up and running in Graz to find out exactly how you're getting on.
I very much hope so. I'd love to describe it to you.
Tessa, again, people have 2 days left. They have today, Thursday, and they have Friday. The exhibition, Riddle of the Burial Grounds, will close on August the 4th. So that, what time is it closing on Friday?
On Saturday at 6 p.m.
Oh, sorry, Saturday, yeah.
And just to remind
you... Right, so we've got 3 days. Absolutely brilliant. That's even better again, yeah. We've got 3 days left, yeah.
Yeah, and just to remind people, it's free. You don't have to buy a ticket to come in, so you can really come in and take your time, take your leisure. Project Art Centre has one gallery and two theatres, and remarkably for this exhibition, we've installed the show in the two theatres as well, so there are no seats in those theatres. So they are also presented with those tools. So you'll see films coming on, you'll see artworks lit and then unlit. We're trying to use the apparatus of theatre to make a different kind of exhibition experience. I really hope people enjoy it.
Fantastic. Well, looking at the images and some of the stuff that's on the website, which is projectsartcentre.ie, it looks a fascinating exhibition, there's no doubt about it. And the subject itself, as you mentioned earlier on, is absolutely mind-boggling, actually, when you think about it.
So we're
encouraging everybody to pop down over the next 3 days and get in. The Project Art Centre is open from what times,
Tessa? 11 a.m. until 6 p.m.
Fantastic. Listen, Tessa, you've been fantastic to take the time out to talk to us on Europe Today, and continued success in your career, and we're really looking forward to talking to you maybe in 2016 from Graz, when you're incumbent in the Graz, what's it called again, the Graz Museum, is it?
It'll be the Graz Museum of the Steirische Herbst. It's actually September 2015. Now I'm panicking.
Okay.
And then Extra City in Antwerp will be 2016 in September.
Right, so okay. Well, there you
many
go.
Many future conversations to be had, John.
Brilliant, fantastic. Tessa, listen, thanks a million for taking the time out to talk to us here this afternoon.
Thank you.
Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's special edition of Europe Today. We want to say a massive thank you to Laura Martin from the Cervantes Institute here in Dublin, and a very, very special thank you to Tessa Giblin from the Projects Arts Centre. Don't forget to check out our support website platform, europetoday.ie. That'll have a podcast of today's programme and links to the various issues that we spoke about as well. If you want to get in contact with us, give us a ring on 865 8020, or you can text us on 087-977-1032. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week on your programme Europe Today.